Kai Havertz, a very divisive man, somebody who has caused so many arguments in the football sphere. Helping me go through this today and trying to resolve what the current Arsenal strategy means for Kai Havertz is the wonderful Turkish, the Arsenal sage. It is a joy to have you on. Now you are, mate. You laugh. You're my go-to Arsenal.
Appreciate that,
Arsenal fans. So thank you so much.
They're going to say it's because I'm flipping all the time, but yeah, the game is the game. What can you do?
Kai Havertz, man. I can't think of anybody better to talk to than you about this. Firstly,
yeah,
before we kind of go into what this season entails for Kai Havertz, what the transfer strategy means for Kai Havertz, what the potential signings mean for his future at the club, where did you sit on the Kai Havertz debate anyway?
Well, before we signed him, when we were about to sign him, or when we signed him?
When, you see, what's happened since he signed is what I find quite frustrating. I feel that there's an almost rewriting of the history of Kai Havertz at Arsenal. I don't feel like he's been a particularly successful player. I don't feel like it's a transfer that's worked. I don't think it's a transfer that's painted Mikel Arteta's eye in the most positive colour.
Yeah.
Everybody, a lot of people that I talk to will tell me that it has worked, that I was wrong, that it was a great signing, that he's done the business for Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
It's not true.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. People are jumping through hoops to make it make sense, and that's part and parcel of, I guess, football fandom at times. But, you know, I'm an advocate of trying to keep it real. And real is different to everyone, right? But anyone trying to justify that signing as a success, I mean, you're either lying through your teeth or there's something wrong upstairs. Because the outlay, the wages, and the player we knew we was getting from Chelsea in terms of what he had done or not done over the 3 years before that, it was always bound to number one, be divisive, which it was, and number two, not work out how you'd expect your highest paid player to work out. Now, he's had a good 5-6 months at the club towards the end of the 23-24 season, where we nearly achieved something big, nearly achieved greatness, finished just shy of Man City, having lost just one game in the last 19,
yeah.
And he played a part in that. But even then, you look at it over the last 2 years, a good 5-6 months doesn't equate to a successful signing when you look at the outlay, not just the wages, but the money spent as well. Mm. And at the time we had spent it after our first title challenge, Rice and Havertz were looked at as the final pieces of the jigsaw, right?
Mm.
And that jigsaw is probably a few pieces more away than it was then.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what's happened at Arsenal this summer? The link to Gyökeres. It's looking like you're going to get that one over the line. If you do get it over the line, I think it'd be a brilliant signing for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Almost a statement marquee signing that you need. Whether that happens or not, and at the time of recording, Gyökeres is not an Arsenal player.
No.
So whether that signing happens or not, it almost tells us, the fact that Arsenal are pursuing him and desperate for it to happen, it almost tells us that Kai Havertz isn't the answer up front, because you wouldn't be signing Gyökeres if you had a version of Gyökeres already at the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you bring him in, what does it mean? Does it mean that Kai Havertz becomes the backup, £72 million backup striker?
Forget £72 million. He'd be our highest paid player on the bench. And that doesn't make sense. So what the new striker means, whether it's Gyökeres that, you know, finally comes through the door, whether they U-turn back to Sesko, we all know we all want a new striker as a fan base. And what that really means is it's the beginning of the end in terms of Havertz's place in the side. Because if Havertz was on 100k, I wouldn't mind him off the bench. I think he can bring something off the bench. He puts himself about. He's not shy to get into a 50-50. Mm. He can win aerial duels. And he gets the odd goal here or there. Off the bench, fine. 100k, fine. But 275k a week on the bench, not at Arsenal Football Club. You rarely see that across world football at the biggest, the greatest clubs, let alone us who have gone 21 years without a Premier League title. So the new striker means, number one, it either lights a fire up his arse and he becomes the player that we all thought he might be, having moved to the Prem from Leverkusen, because that's a long time ago now.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know. It's interesting to see you signing. I think it's very important to acknowledge signings for that reason.
Yeah.
The players, the impact of the player that you're bringing in, absolutely. But the impact of the player that you're bringing in on the existing players can be huge.
100%. That, like, can mould a superstar.
Mate, Dennis Wise had his best season of Chelsea the year that the year that France won the World Cup, we went and signed Didier Deschamps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We brought in the France World Cup captain.
Yeah.
And in the end, Didier Deschamps couldn't get in the team because Dennis Wise went, what? Played out of his skin. He's scoring goals for us in a San Siro.
Competition is the best form of motivation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Obviously, money helps, but they're all on big money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they're all comfy in that department.
Yeah.
So what else can elevate you? Either you look internally, look at the mirror, talk to yourself, work on your weaknesses, or that person comes in that is potentially about to take your spot and you buck up your ideas and make it work.
Yeah. Every single time. It's why Didier Drogba doesn't get anywhere near the respect he deserves. Every single time we signed a brilliant striker, that striker couldn't get Drogba out of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Bringing Crespo, brilliant player Crespo, but couldn't really get Drogba out of the team. Bringing Anelka, brilliant player, scored loads of goals, played a lot, but couldn't really become the number.
It's mentality.
Yeah.
You need that mentality.
It'll be interesting. Does Kai Havertz have that? Do you think that the signing of Gyökeres could inspire Havertz to be the player that some think he's already been?
The problem is, right, and it just comes back to this, and people call it pocket watching. The problem is, I don't believe he has the ability to ever justify 275k a week. Okay. Whether he's the highest paid or the third highest paid, that wage, for me, wage is relative to what your expectation is, right? Mm. In any walk of life, if you've got a business and that person's your highest paid employee, you're looking at that person before your third highest paid or your least highest paid employee when things maybe go wrong or maybe there's an error, because they're the highest paid, the most culpable.
Mm.
So, you know, when I look at his wages and his ability and what I've seen of him in this league, not just at Arsenal, at Chelsea as well, what, 5-6 good months out of the 5 years, 6 years he's been here, it's not good enough. Can it create something new in him? Maybe, but again, I just don't see him ever justifying
what,
that wage.
What about redeploying him in the way that Arteta initially signed him?
He's been redeployed. But
what about, so look, Zubimendi, Rice, Odegaard will be the midfield, won't it?
Yep.
He's not getting that.
No, because he was bought as a midfielder, Rory. Arteta came out the week after, a couple of weeks after, and said midfielder, right? So he's been redeployed already into the attack. He's already been tried, tested, and even in the 23-24 season when he played one game against Aston Villa in midfield, a lot of people look at that decision to play in midfield again, and you have us having lost that game and being the only loss towards the end of the season, thinking, Mikel, what are you doing? So he's already been redeployed. And his best attributes, his best strengths apparently is how he gets about, how he fills in, how he creates space. I'm sorry, but for that sort of a profile, you cannot be anywhere near the highest earner in the side.
There just isn't a spot for him in the squad. Because he can't be, for the reasons that you've just like perfectly laid out, he can't be the backup striker to Gyökeres. He's on too much money. He's on too much money. He's too high profile.
Yeah.
He's potentially going to cost more than Gyökeres will cost.
Yeah.
Like that won't work. Also, is he a better backup striker than Gabriel Jesus?
Not a fit Gabriel Jesus, but that's long gone.
No,
two ACLs, two knees. Unfortunate for him. But in terms of footballer and ability, Jesus is on a different planet when fit. It's just he's never going to reach those heights again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the argument now is more Mourinho, because Mourinho towards the end of the season pretty much did what Havertz had been doing already.
Yeah.
You know, getting himself about and finishing a few chances at a more efficient rate as well. So again, with Arsenal, whether it's Robbie or whoever I speak to, I always ask, all right, Gyökeres, 17 minutes into the game against Man City, whenever it is, November, let's say, Gyökeres has missed a pen, it's 0-0, he's missed a few chances, it's not going well for him. Who do you bring off the bench? Mourinho or Havertz? And knowing that Mourinho has, you know...
What do they say? Generally speaking?
Generally, it's been Mourinho, and then that kind of answers the question for me.
It's unbelievable.
Robbie has turned around and said Havertz, by the way, but you know he likes to play devil's advocate a lot. So.
Do you find that there are a lot of Arsenal fans? Like I'm the reason I'm bringing this to you, really, is because at TalkSport, I had this exact argument yesterday where I was saying on air that Kai Havertz didn't work. Mm-hmm. And my friend, who wasn't on air, my friend who's a producer, like Arsenal fan, like out of Islington, he went to me, what are you talking about? Like, literally, what are you talking about?
That's crazy.
He went, he's done his job. He's been a good signing. He's done everything. I was like, okay, I have nothing but respect for him, right? Nothing but respect for my mate. But I was like, wait, you're kind of questioning my sanity.
Yeah.
And now I'm questioning yours, because we're just not, there is no grey area of the Venn diagram here. I think that Kai Havertz has not done his job and it's been a failed signing.
You know, there's a stigma that this is the only way to support a club, you know, blindly.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to, because if that is, you know, like you said, a friend of yours, and he's made it, I've heard it many times on X, in person, you know, walking down the road, through friends in WhatsApp groups.
Yeah.
Surely then you are siding off what he's earning to make that justification, even if you can make that without what he's earning. When you bring in what he's earning, that's when it all kind of collapses inwards. There's no way it can be justified that it's been a success when he is our highest paid player. He is now the metric for Saka's new contract renewal, yeah. Saliba's new contract renewal potentially. You know, everyone will be looking at how much he earns and looking at how important they are, more important than him, and saying, well, you've got to justify that. And yeah. So for me, as much as he's had a good 5-6 months and we nearly won the league title, I mean, look at last season, Man United, FA Cup, he missed chances. Mm. Newcastle, Carabao Cup semi-final, he missed chances, amongst many other games throughout the seasons. Not just for us, for you as well.
Mate, totally. So I've seen it all before with him. He's incredibly profligate, mm-hmm. so unpredictable, and I don't get it. And Keelan Crosgrove at TalkSport, I do hope you're listening, sir, because this was almost decided off the back of like an argument with him. With it being a World Cup year, Kai Havertz will obviously want to represent Germany in America.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a world where he could leave? So, you know, when we talk about transfers, and for Arsenal, this window is seen as being very significant.
Yeah.
It's actually it could be the make or break of Mikel Arteta. Get it right this window. Get it right this window. Somehow win major silverware. It could solidify his legacy at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Because his team has done very well. He's made Arsenal a serious club. But they need a defining moment. They need a trophy. If he gets the transfers right, it could happen.
Potentially.
Another way that you have a good transfer window, and we don't talk about it enough, it's the revolving door.
Yeah.
It's making sure that the right players leave at the right time. Is it the right time to try and cash in on Kai Havertz?
If rumours are to be believed, and there's a few clubs across Europe waiting until he's got 2 years left on his deal, which will be next summer, then I'd argue or ask the club to maybe knock on those doors and say, do you want to make it this summer?
Yeah.
Just because, again, the outlay and the position he holds, it just doesn't make sense. And it is make or break. It's sink or swim. It's do or die this season in terms of the project, the process. You know, many people, including myself, thought it was last year. But then, you know, there's the injury excuse or reason, and however you want to look at it, cool, that played a part. That won't play a part this year because they surely have learned off the lessons and don't go in lights like we did last year. So for me, Havertz going this summer is unrealistic considering what he's on and how highly he's held in regard in terms of the manager. And it looks like around the dressing room as well, you know, he's loved by
I suppose you do need the depth. Like, it's all very well going, like, we'd like this player to leave or that player to leave. But unless you were to have a window comparable to Chelsea's first under Abramovich, it's just not going to happen.
No, 100%. Now, I say unrealistic. If it, you know, if we wake up tomorrow and Leipzig are more open to negotiating a lower fee for Sesko, and the interest in Havertz is real, and you offer me, would you bring in Gyökeres and Sesko and let Havertz go? Then my answer would be yes, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I'd book the cab.
Yeah.
You know, this is Arsenal. I know that at the best of times, we don't do business like that.
Yeah.
So for me, especially player sales, that's something we've got to improve on, and hopefully Berta does improve that. But even that's quietened down a lot this summer. You know, Zinchenko's one player that we need to move on. Couple more play, even those names haven't been linked as strongly as we'd like them to be linked. So for me to expect Havertz now to potentially get a move, I'd say the one main player, there was conversation of a player potentially losing his spot because of the needs and wants of the club in the summer. I always looked at Martinelli as the one that you could balance out as good fee and understandable sale. You know, for me, Havertz, I'm not too sure where the sale comes from, where the buyer comes from, and it's unrealistic. So I just hope that he aids Gyökeres off the bench, he aids us off the bench like he needs to be doing, and then next year we'll assess the situation.
And if he can become, and there are question marks here, but I suppose there is a world in which this could happen, if he can become, you know, the other guy, which you always need, you know, to win a league,
of course.
You always need, you win the league because of Diego Costa's goals, but it's Loic Remy. It's Diego Costa's goals, but it's Michy Batshuayi.
Sylvain Wiltord.
Solomon Kalou. Kanu. Yeah. You always need the other player 100%. In the way that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was that. And who, you know, 100%. If Kai Havertz could, you know, if he weighs in with 7 or 8 Premier League goals, but that's turned into 16 points.
Of course. In the league. Because when you win the league, you look at all those moments, whether it's just one game he comes off the bench for and he turns a point into 3 points.
You're
and
right. you win the league. It's a perfect example.
Exactly. It's a perfect example. It goes down in history. I love Sylvain Wiltord. That these men ain't, they wasn't ever first team strikers.
Yeah.
But you love them because of those moments. Yeah. Like Origi at Liverpool.
Batshuayi at the Hawthorns.
Jesus at City,
absolutely. You
know, he was coming in for Aguero and so on.
Big goal at St. Mary's, was it? Yeah. Big goal at St. Mary's, yeah.
So, you know, these players can build a very good, you know, feeling, a very good aura of...
Yeah, and they become indispensable.
Yeah.
So big season for Havertz.
Very big. I mean, every season for him. When you're the highest paid player at a top club, that's part and parcel of it. You know, it has to be a big season. Whether it's Salah at Liverpool or Haaland at City I know you've got a lot different in your ages. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, at times it was either, like you said, a Costa or a Hazard.
Yeah, yeah.
The pressure's on the biggest paid players, the highest paid players. It's not pocket watching. It's relative to the importance. Yeah.
I completely agree. Mate, always an honour to discuss it with you. Thanks so much, man. Make sure that you check the link in the description below. You will find the link to Turkish's YouTube channel. There is so much good content over there. Make sure that you click subscribe. And also do us a favour. Give this video a like if you've enjoyed it. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below. Kai Havertz, what season will he have next season?